And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to jump to the next part of the trip. Got to, man. That last one exhausted me. Just wore me slap out. That's how we say things around here. Wore me slap out. Slap out. Next on the Triple Dipper, taking our economy back. I started this one yesterday. I initiated it and then realized quickly we had so many phone calls in the latter part of the show. I thought, you know what? I'm going to hold this. And it wound up being a good hold because I took the rest of the time we had on the air yesterday to do phone calls and text line. But taking our economy back is a big deal. We've got to. I mean, the Biden administration is intent upon doing things on a daily basis, it seems, that are designed appear to be designed to make our economy suffer, to put us into a place where how do you recover from $31 trillion in debt? And I know, by the way, before anybody calls in and says it, I'm keenly aware of the fact that even the Trump administration continued to raise the national debt. But I will say this, more has been added in the Biden administration in the last 2 years than in multiple years prior to that. Anyway, and they want more, by the way. They want to keep spending because their solution to inflation's bad. What do we do? Give them more money. That's part of the problem. Give them more money. When you have a supply and demand, issue, and yet you have plenty of money to be able to procure more items at retail or wherever else, but there's not enough supply, it drives up price. Inflation is in part because of government spending. U.S. starts the fiscal year with a record $31 trillion in debt, according to ABC News. Washington, Dateline, October 4th, 2 days ago. The nation's gross national debt has surpassed $31 trillion, according to a U.S. Treasury report released Tuesday that logs America's daily finances, edging closer to the statutory ceiling of $31.4 trillion, an artificial cap that Congress placed on the U.S. government's ability to... Now, what do you bet? Any day now, Schumer is going to call for raising the national debt limit again. Anyway, and while President Joe Biden has touted his administration's deficit reduction efforts this year and recently signed the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which attempts to tame 40-year high price increases caused by a variety of economic factors, economists say the latest debt numbers are a cause for concern. By the way, this is an ABC News article. It's not an opinion piece. This is ABC News acknowledging that this ain't good, y'all. Well, one of the things that is happening within the financial sector is the ESG movement, and you've heard me talk about this, environmental, social, and governance. ESG is the latest liberal trick that to try and guilt people into doing things that don't make sense for the bottom line. Environmental, social, and governance. Should corporations be in the business of doing their business, of raising money and making profits for their shareholders and investors? Or should a corporation be in existence to not just make and sell its widgets, but to also take activist roles on Green New Deal policies and make sure that social justice is at the forefront of all of their advertising and make sure they plant the requisite. I mean, you could be social. I don't care. You know what? Be socially responsible if you want to, or call it socially responsible. You can take those stands. I don't mind. That is certainly your right. A corporation has a right to do so the same as an individual does. If freedom of speech has been extended to corporate entities for, as long as I can remember. But the reality is this. If it's being forced upon the corporation by a shift in the markets towards demanding ESG compliance in order to get a proper ESG score so the companies can then actually use that ESG score to actually get a capital loan to keep the business thriving, that's wrong. If major investment portfolios like BlackRock, one of the largest investment portfolios in the world, if BlackRock is saying, yeah, you know what, hey, you need to start doing more ESG type work there, corporation, or we're going to drop you from our investment portfolio. We'll sell off your shares and your stock will tank. You think I'm kidding? That's happening right now on a regular basis. And by the way, the guy who heads up BlackRock, Larry Fink, along with the guy who, I just lost his name, the World Economic Forum. I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, those two have pioneered this ESG situation. And it has put corporate America in a bad spot, because suddenly to get the loans or to be invested in by the major portfolios, you know, to have the money managers put people in the right place and their stock stay where it should be, is not anymore related to the value of the company so much as what the company does on liberal issues. That's just freaking wrong. That's just like next layer wrong. And I said, I had a whole segment of my show once before. Under the law, shareholders have rights. It's called a shareholder's derivative action. You can actually file suit against the company that you bought stock in because you don't think that they're taking your investment seriously and managing it in a way to make you a profit. Well, we better start seeing some of those. But when we come back in a minute, I'm going to point out we are seeing a pushback now. ESG is starting to get, it's a bit dicey. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, man. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number three already. Good heavens. Hour number three. Hey, by the way, listen, I got to tell you before I go any further, some of y'all may have heard me on the show talking about the fact that I care about veterans' issues, that I'm a veteran myself, that my father, my grandfather, I've got other family members still on active duty. The bottom line is I key in on things that are sort of military-centric or that benefit veterans. Well, like me, you may have been seeing all these ads coming out now about the Camp Lejeune Marine Corps base water contamination. Like, what's that about? Well, the end result is, apparently it's legit. So I called some friends of mine. These are truly friends of mine. I've worked with them before. We've fought together on issues at Riley and Jackson Law Firm based in Birmingham. They're a law firm in Birmingham, but they work statewide. Riley and Jackson has like five attorneys working on this very thing, this Camp Lejeune thing. I said, fellas, what's the deal? They said, Phil, it's real, man. There's like 19 different illnesses attributed to a confirmed water contamination that the government knew about and didn't take action on. And it's like, we're talking deadly illnesses, some of them, cancers, and some people have been debilitated, some have died. All said and done, here's the deal. If you were at Camp Lejeune, whether you be as a dependent, a trainee, there on TDY, permanent duty station, doesn't matter, between the years 1953 and 1987, any period of time between 53 and 87, you may qualify for a claim. I encourage you, call the folks at Riley and Jackson. They won't charge you for the phone call, and they also won't charge you a dime for anything unless they can get a claim in your name. All right? Here's their number, Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. That's Riley and Jackson, 205-879-5000. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right. Listen, moving forward here on the number two on the triple dipper, taking our economy back. I got an audio clip that I okay, this is going to be boomer. I think this is the fourth time I played this clip. It's that good. So here's the setting. We're talking about taking our economy back. One of the things that's happening is this ESG push. And there's now a push back. Even some liberals are getting tired of it. Jamie Dimon, who is the president and CEO of JP Morgan Chase, I believe that's his bank. Anyway, Jamie Dimon is a Democrat. Jamie Dimon is supportive of the Obama administration. Jamie Dimon, I believe, helped Biden get elected. Jamie Dimon is having none of it. He's not. So the scene here is there was a hearing before Congress. All of the CEOs of the major banks were supposed to be there. They were lined up. And, you know, uber liberal Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib is grilling them. I mean, like, wearing them out. How dare you own an investment portfolio or provide loans to the oil and gas industry? And so she starts with Jamie Dimon, a liberal, and he was having none of it. Play the clip.
I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products? Mr. Dimon.
Absolutely not, and that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Sir, you know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account. The fact that you're not even there to help relieve many of the folks that are in debt, extreme debt, because of student loan debt, and you're out there criticizing it. Ms. Frazier, how about
all
you?
All right, stop right there. That's amazing. So basically, she excoriates him and threatens him with the idea that everybody who has an account at his bank ought to shut it down and leave. Because why? Because when she said, are you going to continue to invest in the oil and gas industry, which is a piece of ESG, environmental, social, and governance, E, environmental, green policies, is your bank going to dare to loan money to the oil and gas industry? And if they do, they need to stop now or their ESG score may go down. And when she questions Jamie Dimon, the liberal Democrat, what did he say? Absolutely not. That would be the road to hell for America. He was not even playing. Oh, that is so good. Well, let's do one more clip, Boomer. Clip two. This one's going to last about a minute. Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy was a Silicon Valley CEO. He's one of these young kind of titans of industry. Like, how did this guy do so much? And he's like, he looks like he's 26. But nonetheless, he's sharp as a tack, man. And Vivek Ramaswamy has been pushing back against liberal mantras on a daily basis. He left corporate America just to fight this fight. And one of the things he has done now is he has established a brand new up-and-coming investment portfolio. I hope I'm saying that right. Portfolio. Anyway, the bottom line is it's a large plan that contains the funds, a large trading fund called Strive, to compete with the liberals like BlackRock. Strive is waking people up because suddenly Strive has $300 million in assets. How does this happen? Maybe because people are interested in actually having profits. Like maybe when they buy stock in a company, they want to know they'll get a return on their actual investment. They're not just investing so that you can go out and run commercials that support the LGBTQ agenda and, you know, support Green New Deal and support the idea that, you know, the Georgia election law should be overturned. And so he spoke out about this on a recent, I think this was on CNBC. You got clip two, bud? You good? All right, let's play it.
We've already engaged with 10 publicly traded energy companies. I wrote a public letter, a shareholder letter, to the board of directors of Chevron, and I was pleased to see the company was engaged in mutual dialogue. I had dinner with the CFO recently in New York City at the request of the CEO, and that's what I think we need more of in the boardroom, more open debate representing a more diverse set of perspectives than we've heard in the boardrooms of these companies over the last several years. Our perspective is that U.S. energy companies should be focused on drilling, on fracking, on doing whatever allows them to be most successful over the long run without regard to any other political, social, or environmental agenda, leaving politics to the politicians. Now, people on the other side of this ESG debate understandably say that this isn't about politics. This is about maximizing long-run value. You want to know what I say? Great, let's have that debate, because I think what's actually been happening is there were social agendas packed in starting in 2018 and 2019 that have been recharacterized as being in the long-run interests of companies when, in fact, they are not. And I think that that honest debate, I think, is going to be good both for capital markets and for corporate boardrooms. That's what we're hoping to bring to the table.
All right. Yeah, he is so sharp. What he's basically saying, and he, by the way, he wasn't being confrontational. He wasn't being rude or condescending. He was literally saying, let's have the debate. Let's get it out there on the table. He reached out to Chevron, you know, one of the major oil and gas industry companies, one of the big ones. And their CFO was very responsive, and they had lunch and or had dinner. And so what we're looking at here is a guy who is suddenly making waves. Story in the Epoch Times dated October 4th about this very thing. It says only a few years after declaring that climate risk is an investment risk and mandating corporations to meet certain environmental standards, Larry Fink, the chairman and CEO of BlackRock, is facing growing resistance. See, here's the pushback. Even the most ardent champions of sustainable investing are experiencing a rude awakening. Fink of BlackRock, who heads the world's largest asset management firm, announced in his 2020 letter to his clients, he would place sustainability at the center of his investment strategies and reduce investment in fossil fuels. What he's basically saying is, we're gonna stop investing in oil and gas companies, number one, and we're gonna look at sustainability, meaning we're going to find these ESG components because we think that's the most important thing that we begin to rethink. The Great Reset, they call this, by the way. We're going to rethink how corporate America shouldn't be about profits and making widgets. Corporate America should be about, you know, sustainability and long-term solutions for culture. That's not why they go into business. The widget maker went into business to make a widget. The oil company went into business to drill for oil. The service industry goes into business to provide a service to its customers. The hotelier goes into business to run a hotel. And they don't do it so they can, you know, get out there and say, listen, it's not about how good our widgets are. It's about whether or not the LGBTQ community knows that we care. That's not what drives profits. Now, it's not saying you can't do that. But profits have to be first because that's what investors have a right to know, that you're taking care of their investment dollars. So the story from the Epoch Times that I've got in my hands, Fink stated the tectonic shift is happening. We're seeing evidence every day that climate risk is investment risk and people are waking up. But, it goes on to say, not everyone in the investment community agrees. And it goes into Vivek Ramaswamy's new company, the Ohio-based Strive Asset Management, has started a crusade against the world's leading asset managers that push for these sustainable investing solutions, often known as ESG. In August, it says, Strive launched its first index fund. The fund attracted more than $300 million, which the Financial Times described as an eye-catching success. Well, I got news. It's not just these competitive companies like Strive and Vivek Ramaswamy. There are states, actual states, Louisiana, Texas come to mind right away, that are looking at BlackRock and other ESG proponents and saying, you know what? Stop the madness. That is not in the best interest of our state retirement plans. Because, yeah, state retirement plans aren't just money sitting in the state's banks. State retirement plans are usually going to wind up being large-scale investment management portfolios on behalf of the future retirees and retirees of the state. And you want to maximize that because it was tax dollars that went into place. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I am in number two of the Triple Dipper, taking our economy back. What do we got to do? Well, I'll tell you what we got to do. Things like Vivek Ramaswamy and the treasurer of the state of Louisiana and others saying, you know what? Stop the madness. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Fighting back against the cacistocracy. Hey, listen, it is 4:23 p.m. right now. Some of you folks are just about in go-home mode. Maybe some of y'all already are. And you're thinking, tonight, I got to do something different for dinner. Or here's another idea. Maybe tomorrow morning, you're going to come in and get something for breakfast on the way to work like you usually do. But what about doing something different? What about giving yourself the opportunity to do something besides the usual biscuit at the drive-thru? You know, the coffee in the styrofoam cup and the biscuit at the drive-thru. Eat it in the car. Get it all over you while you're driving. Let me just suggest something to you. Just Love Coffee Cafe has an amazing menu. Amazing award-winning dry roast coffees. They can grind the beans for you fresh, make you a steaming cup of light roast, medium roast, dark roast flavored coffees. They've also got all what Charlene calls the treat coffees, the cappuccinos, the espressos, the lattes. But they've got a menu that's pretty cool. And their breakfast menu, think about this. Stopping in the morning, maybe you get the dippers. Sausage or chicken wrapped in a waffled biscuit served with a choice of sausage gravy, syrup, or mustard. Ooh. Maybe get you some avocado toast. There's an idea. Or a bacon tater, which is just the opposite. Hash brown waffle, cheddar cheese, and bacon sprinkled with black pepper and served with a side of sour cream or ketchup. Or the womlet, one of my favorites. Eggs, sausage, cheddar cheese, onions, peppers, tomatoes, tater tots sprinkled with black pepper made into a one big omelet cooked in a waffle iron. Dang. That's just a part of the menu. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, by the way. Two locations in our listening area. Just Love Coffee Cafe. One out on Hughes Road in Madison near City Hall. And the other one on South Parkway in Huntsville, close to Whole Foods. Folks, listen, you got to check them out. I love their environment. I love their food. And I definitely love their coffee. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. Check them out. Tell them you heard about it on the Right Side Radio. All right, let's wrap this up. The state of anti-ESG state legislation. So I pulled this off of a website. It's a blog, basically, dated about a little over a month ago. But basically what it's saying is there are 17 states that have proposed or adopted state legislation limiting the ability of the state's government to include in its public retirement plans any industries that are boycotting things that the state relies upon for its economy. For instance, Texas and Louisiana are just about had it. The oil and gas industry is big in Texas. It's big here. You don't realize it, but you know we have a lot of offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico that is in Alabama waters, and we derive a great deal of state revenue from that. So if our state retirement plan was investing in BlackRock, and BlackRock was saying, we're not going to be helping out the oil and gas industry anymore, we're not going to have them in our plans, that's a direct affront to the jobs of Alabamians, to the revenue of the state of Alabama. Why would we do that? Well, 17 states are saying they're about had it with that kind of thing. They've got two kinds. They've got what they call boycott bills, meaning we won't do business with you if you won't do business with our folks. And the other is what they call a no ESG investment bill, saying, no, if you're an ESG plan, we don't want you. That's starting to happen more often now. But redstate.com has a piece, came out today. Louisiana pulls $794 million from BlackRock to protest its radical environmental policies. Wow. It doesn't have to be the legislature, because if the state treasurer has been vested with the authority to make the necessary moves to protect certain investments, he can do it, he or she. Louisiana Treasurer John Schroeder announced Wednesday he's yanking all of his state's investments from heavyweight asset manager BlackRock, Inc., saying the company's push for ESG policies is hurting the state's energy-dependent economy. Schroeder wrote in a letter to BlackRock Chief Executive Officer Larry Fink, your blatantly anti-fossil fuel policies would destroy Louisiana's economy. Therefore, Louisiana Treasury will liquidate all BlackRock investments by the end of 2022. Says, to date, we have divested $560 million. We are strategically divesting over a period of time, so state money is not lost to the detriment of our citizens. But once complete, this divestment will reflect $794 million no longer entangled in BlackRock money market funds, mutual funds, or exchange-traded funds. This is all done to protect Louisiana, its citizens, and, oh, by the way, its retirement plans. I got more of that. I think I can wind this segment up pretty much by just saying This is what happens when you begin to push for people to do what is not natural. When you push for corporations to run their business on what is a good social policy or a good, neat environmental idea, and it has nothing to do with the agenda or, excuse me, of the business model of that business. They can do it if they want to. If the boardroom chooses, they can do it. Absolutely. It is their right. But their first and foremost priority has to be the return to the shareholders, the profit margins. And if they are running that company in such a way that profits are secondary to these ESG scores, well, folks, they have hosed their investors. And I guarantee you the next thing on the horizon is going to wind up being litigation by shareholders against some of their woke boardrooms that are hurting their profits. That's enough of that. Take our economy back. That's what I say. Start these pushbacks. Vivek Ramaswamy, I'm glad he's leading that charge. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.